At this time, I stood to bear my testimony. I had spoken for a few moments when the spirit of prophecy came to me in a great power. Never had I felt such power before in my life. At this moment, I became conscious of a heavenly angel standing by my side and speaking to me. I could feel his breath upon my ear as he spoke with a message from the Lord. His first words were, "Behold, thus saith the Lord to you, my people. It was I who hung upon the cross for you, that you might receive eternal life. Tonight I plead with you to come unto me. Oh, will you come unto me? For verily thus saith the Lord, the day of the Gentiles is over. From now on they shall go down and down, until there shall not be one left against me, saith the Lord. You could have escaped this hour, but you would not. Now you will have to bear the burden and sorrow of this hour, for my judgments are upon the Gentiles and all the ungodly. My Zion waits for a later day, and thou art caught in the judgments of the Gentiles, yet will I spare thee." These words were spoken by the angel who stood by my side, whose voice I heard as a man hears another man's voice. At this time, the angel quoted a part of section 102, paragraph 2a, or paragraph 2, out of the Doctrine and Covenants. He quoted it a little differently than it is recorded in our Doctrine and Covenants. The words of the angel, which he spoke for the Lord, were, "Behold, I say unto you, were it not for the transgressions of my people, Zion could have been redeemed long ago. But behold, they have not learned to be obedient to the things which I require at their hands." One can read the first and second paragraphs of section 102 and see the full import of what the angel quoted to me. At the time this was taking place, the Second World War lay at my feet, but seemingly it was nothing compared to what was to come. Here again the angel spoke to me, saying not to fear this, but that which is to follow. Here at this time I seemed to be looking down on a scene that was being shown to me, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. This experience was somewhat like a moving picture. The next scene that came before me was the general priesthood of the church, both appointees and local priesthood members. Although I did not know any of these men, I looked upon them as you would look upon any group of men. These men sat in a U-shaped formation, somewhat like the joint council room in the auditorium. As I stood viewing these men, I was made to know and understand their condition. They were weak and very pale looking, not measuring up to their calling, which God has placed upon them. The inspired words of Joseph Luff fit very well here. They have forgotten their calling, for they have returned to the world for their equipment and the weapons of their own choosing. At this time, the scene changed from the priesthood to saints of the church. They were sitting in a large congregation. They too looked weak and pale. Many were trying to rise to higher grounds of living, but some were falling by the wayside. Others were indifferent. Here the angel said to me, "My people cannot rise to the higher ground of righteousness until my priesthood are living and ministering up to their calling." I believe the condition that the angel showed me is now, 1967, upon the church, and only God can set the church in order. I knew in December 1941 that this experience was pointing to a later date in the church because of what was being shown to me. Here the scene changed from the condition of the church to the war with Russia. It was shown to me in a spiritual sense, although I knew I understood while under the Spirit. It came like a flash of lightning from a great storm. I heard the howling, and moving of the wind and thunder. Great and terrible was this hour. I trembled as I looked upon it. I knew this was the Third World War. There are dim thoughts and scenes in my mind yet today in 1967. I cannot reveal neither can I utter them, for they have been closed up like a book. Great and terrible was this hour. I feel it to be the darkest hour for civilization, this side of the days of our blessed Lord. As I viewed this hour, I felt that America came very near to being overthrown. I was made to understand that because of the love of God and the building of the kingdom, or Zion, America would be spared. When the Spirit of the Lord withdrew, I was left weak and trembling. It was about all I could do to stand on my feet. Days and weeks went by before I could get it off my mind. I wanted to share this experience with my brethren, what the Lord had shown to me. To my sorrow, I learned that they did not want to hear it. Neither did they believe it. I received a severe rebuke for trying to share a part of this experience. From this time on, I knew I must keep it to myself and bear the burden of such knowledge alone. I was made to know in this experience we would not do much in building the kingdom until the Third World War was over. 26 years have now passed, and little has been done for the redemption of Zion. May God bless all who believe in the redemption of Zion and minister to that end. Something I'd like to share. Last year, at the 70s reunion, I think I've been to six or seven, I can't remember just how many I've been to, but last year I thought was probably the best missionary reunion I had been to. And I'll tell you why. At the last service, the Lord spoke to us. And one of the things that He said was that even the most spiritually mature among us were weak. And in my opinion, there were some people there who I would consider very, very mature spiritually, and who I felt walked very close to the Lord. And I was challenged, because if these brothers and sisters who I looked up to, because of the close walk that I felt they had with God, were weak, where does that leave the rest of us? And I know I'm speaking tonight. I don't want to take away anything I have to say tonight, but I just feel a great emphasis that if ever there was a time in the history of man that we need to come close to our God, this is it. Because God is not going to wait forever for us to be prepared for that which is going to come upon the earth. He wants to prepare us now. He's been trying to prepare us for a long time. A long time. And so if there are things in our lives that are keeping us separated from our God, this is the time to identify them and to eliminate them from our lives. Remember yesterday I read the scripture from Mosiah where it said that we need to watch our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. And that is very true. Because our thoughts become words and then they become actions. Sometimes we go straight from our thoughts to our actions. I'd like to, I'm not going to bore you with my reading now for the next one. I wanted to split it up. I have two brothers and two sisters who are going to help in the reading of this prophecy given by Arthur Oakman in 1974. And I would like for you to listen very carefully to this, and I will have copies of both of these for those that would like to have them. Because the Lord is speaking to us. He is admonishing us. He is chastening us. And if He's doing that because He loves us and He wants us to be His children. So let's listen to the correction that He is striving to bring to us as these words are spoken.
This was given through Brother Oakman in 1974. I believe at that point he was out of Quorum 12. He was an evangelist patriarch. Given at the Wichita, given in Wichita. I am the Lord your God. I am the same who spake to the Israelites on Mount Sinai in the thunderous times, and the people heard and knew my name. I am he who has spoken to you in the still small voice, given counsel and comfort many more times, and have blessed you. Yet many more times would I have blessed you, but you would not hear me, and those blessings I have had to withhold. I have blessed you financially and materially, yet you have withheld of your tithes and offerings. You have not attended prayer services as you ought, where you could have gained strength from each other. You have used the excuse of complaining of body weariness, much of this being caused by extra activities that you have undertaken in other interests of the world. Some have spent the evening in other areas for financial gain. And there are those who have chosen to attend social organizations of this world, and I have had to withhold my blessings. My priesthood have accepted the responsibilities of the office to which they were ordained, yet many have not applied themselves, and when great darkness shall come the earth, they will feel such a weight of burden upon their souls they cannot bear it. It is not long until the earth again will be drenched in blood, and darkness shall cover the world. For many who have heard my voice but did not heed it, it will be too late when they call upon me. I will not answer. Yet there are many who will obey my commandments. Seek me in the ways in your prayers. And when those trials and times come, I will continue to bless them. My gospel shall be preached unto all the world, and there shall be times when it shall seem to stay still, but it will gain momentum, and my kingdom shall be, for I am in this world. There was a short season until There will be a short season until World War III. Our country will be involved. There will be perilous times. People in America will be brought to their knees, and even the saints will suffer hardships. Material possessions will be of no value, and the only real value will be the quality of life. It is not time for fear, but rather a time for rejoicing. For only through this means can the gospel go to all the world, including Russia. After this, other countries will be at war one with another, and not bother this land. Then will the gospel go to all parts of the world.
The youth of today are the leaders of tomorrow, so they must be alert to all of Satan's craft ways and traps which he has set to destroy the youth. You have become lax in your duties as mothers, as a wife, or as a saint. Call upon me in mighty prayer, seeking the Father's guidance. And if you will do this sincerely, I will show ye how you might be able to bring thy children back, as well as how you might be able to help thy sisters or thy brothers from being deceived. If thy companion is not one of the sheep, he cannot allow this to hinder thee. You must strive even stronger to set a holy example for thy children and hold the family together. For in the short time ahead, if thy family ties are not strong, you will see thy children fall right into Satan's trap. He will weave his heavy cords around them as a spider weaves a web, and he will they serve. Beware of Satan's worst device, free love. I say unto ye also, teach my children how to pray in my name. Teach my children my holy scriptures with a joyful attitude, not begrudgingly. Also, teach them to love and respect my elderly. Teach thy children love and kindness by being kind and loving to them. Teach them always to obey my laws, as well as the laws of this land, and to be strong and steadfast, never allowing their faith to weaken when they observe others' calling. For I say unto thee, the calamity which is soon to come upon the earth is far worse than anyone can comprehend.
My children, you cannot say you have not been warned. For you know many, many times I have warned thee to get prepared. Soon my warning voice doth cease. For if I should prolong these coming events, how many would continue their self-glorified ways? You must hearken unto me this day. Now is the time. Rid thyself of all hate, jealousy, covetousness, and hostile feelings toward thy brothers and thy sisters. Now is the time to free thyself of all debts and get thy house in order. Many of my children have become slothful and have taken too much for granted in the past, but no longer can you remain this way. You cannot feed on milk and expect to have any more than a babe. Yea, riches and wealth on earth saved to help thee feel secure in the future. But I say unto thee, only that which ye have done for me will last. Thy material riches shall become as dust before thy eyes, and thy power and authority shall be dissolved unless ye hearken unto my warning, and serve me, thy heavenly Father, not mammon. You cannot say ye love me and continue living the ways of the world. Remember, I know thy heart. Each must repent. This should be on the lips of each holy priesthood if he truly cares about my flock. Many believe that when the tribulation time begins, he shall be stoned and tortured, thereby ye may know that this is the beginning. Not so. For I say unto thee, Satan has planned a different approach. He has already advised his co-workers to deceive you in this manner. They must first gain thy confidence, then make a lie appear as truth, make sin as just entertainment, common, and as something ordinary. Do it because the majority sins. Make filth become commonplace. I have warned thee in times past of Satan's other plans in trying to take thee, but this strongest plan you know not of, which is to take place in a peaceful way. He has said to his co-workers, he has tried to take many souls from me in times past by torture, and such he has failed. For my children become martyrs, and that caused the faith of many to be strengthened, so he failed. That is why it is most needed that we pray daily for the discernment of spirit. Again I say, beware of those who teach and practice free love, for they are the sons of perdition. I do not say Satan has given up his plans to tempt thee or cause thee pain and distress physically, mentally, and spiritually. What he plans first is to snare thee in a peaceful manner. I say unto my holy priesthood, I am aware of all the obstacles which come before thee, hindering thy voice and speaking out for my gospel as you desire to do. Soon cometh an end to this. Soon, yea, very soon, we shall be free to give the ministry which my children are in great need of at this time. For I, the Lord God, shall remove Satan's workers, and I shall bring my Holy Spirit down upon earth on my holy priesthood in a greater measure than you have ever received before. You cannot comprehend the power and authority which I shall give you.
First, there must come a cleansing, and this cometh soon. Do not become depressed, for remember, you are mine, and I have chosen thee for a special work yet to come, which ye know not of. Continue to have faith, and remain steadfast and strong. This is the time when my handmaidens may speak out against all that is evil, for they cannot be silenced. This will only be for a short span of time, and this is not to be compared to one having priesthood authority given them, for this cannot ever be. They should speak out as concerned mothers in Latter-day Israel, and as true handmaidens of mine. Never before has there been so much liberty given to my handmaidens, yea, but never before has there been such a great need for this. Now is the time. Soon this span of time will pass. Then my holy priesthood shall be endowed with my power from on high, a hundredfold that ye have now watched and earnestly prayed for this day. Remember, I choose thee to watch over my flock and feed my sheep. Ye shall witness great and marvelous happenings. But forget not those things which I have warned thee of which cometh soon. All shall be shaken, and if you do not have my power with thee, what will ye do, my sons? Did I not tell thee you would see men in high places fall? is this not being so fulfilled? So I say again, watch, and let a prayer always be on thy lips, not for just thyself alone, but also for they who are your brothers and sisters. See that ye do not become a stumbling block for them.
Again, I speak unto my handmaids, you who are older. I charge thee this day that you should share all the knowledge you have with thy younger sisters. This responsibility I give thee now, for many of thy younger sisters will not be able to cope with the changing events which are soon to come. Many of my young handmaids are unacquainted with hard work. You have received and have not given of thyself to thy family as I have designed for thee. Now you should show and teach thy sisters how to plant and preserve thy food. Learn how to sew thy own garments and thy family's too. Seek knowledge in other ways. You can live with lesser funds though the cost of living may rise. My handmaidens who are older, be patient with my sisters who lack the knowledge of these things. Have you not wondered why you have been blessed with so many talents and have never before been given the opportunity to share them? Now you do so. For I say unto thee, the time soon cometh when thy modern conveniences shall be taken away. When this occurs, if my children are not prepared, they shall be frightened. Many will seek to destroy their own lives and their children's. If they do not wholly and completely put their trust in me, they shall be tossed to and fro, not knowing which way to turn. But if my children will turn from their worldly ways and call upon me in true repentance and in humility, then the windows of heaven shall be opened up.
And forget not, my handmaidens, to whom much is given, much is required of thee. I have so much to give thee, if you will but ask. You may form food and home classes, sewing classes, and others. They should be for the sole purpose of helping one another to live a more Zionic life. I have given thee the word of wisdom, yet few follow it. Freely I have given thee, freely ye should give of thy knowledge and wisdom. Do not boast of thy knowledge, and do not ridicule or look down on thy sister's lack of knowing all of these things, for remember, there has not been such a great need for this knowledge as with this generation. Do not allow thy classes to become just a social gathering. Remember, time is running out. Teach in a spirit of love and concern of one another. When you plant seeds, can, quilt, or in getting thy storehouse ready, do not think only of thine own family's needs, but set aside a little extra for those to come. If you need further light on this, pray, and I will give it to thee.
Unto all my children I say, in whatsoever things ye say or do, be certain that it glorifies thy heavenly Father. Keep thy thoughts pure and holy, striving to keep my Zion's goal ever before thee. Sing hymns of praise unto me. Do not waste thy time away singing worldly songs, for what doth it profit thee? Sing hymns of praise unto me. Sing hymns which will nourish thy soul. My children, you may feel that I have spoken harshly with thee, or that I expect too much of thee. But I say these things unto thee because I love thee. I want thee to live a disciplined life, holy and completely in submission unto thy heavenly Father, so thereby my kingdom might be established on earth, and ye, my children, might shine as the redeemed of the Lord. Soon cometh the day. Be prepared, even so. Amen.
Are there any comments? Jim? Wait for the microphone.
I'd like to make a couple of comments in general. I think some of the things in Brother Oakland's revelation, I think time has already passed. And the last part that Janet read, and I'm not saying it individually, but as a collective effort, I believe we're so close to the time that some of these preparations of temporal things are going to be very difficult to accomplish. I do believe that the urgency for us to be righteous, for the priesthood to rise in their strength, has to happen. In Brother White's Frank's experience, and I think it's true, it's kind of like, you know, if you know anything about hydroelectricity, which they're having problems with out in the West, not just water for crops, but you have to have enough water to run over the dam and turn the engines. That's the increase. That's what ministry is. Ministry is the increase, not the little bit of water in the reservoir. And if the ministry isn't in tune with God, there's no way they can bring the Lord's people to God. That's our stewardship, that's our calling, and that's how we'll be judged. Of particular note to me, of course we all have things we zero in on in these experiences, but I notice in the third paragraph of Oakland's, it says, the priests have accepted the responsibilities of office to which they were ordained. Brother White said it this way. He quotes Joseph Luff and says, for they, speaking of the priesthood, have forgotten their calling. They return to the world. We function outside of our own office and calling. We try to function in another man's office and calling instead of the calling that God's called us to. And yet when we stand before God, He's going to ask us about the stewardship of the office we've been called to, not the time we've been wasting trying to do some other man's ministry. I think that has hurt the ministry. The interesting thing I find about Brother White's, because I happen to be in the middle of this event, is you notice that he attempted to share this with some of the brethren of the priesthood back when he originally received it, and it wasn't received. He was ridiculed. And so he just kept it to himself until 1967. I actually sat under his ministry a couple times in the early 1970s. He really was a tremendous minister. But he says in the third column on the first page, the next to the last paragraph, I believe the condition that the angel showed me is now upon the church, 1967. What of interest in 1967, 1966-67, was that's when the position papers came out, which most of the saints never saw until later. And this was quite a lengthy document that actually positioned the church for the direction they were going to take it to destroy it, which they did. And they're still working on that. And in light of all that, I'd like to read a portion of section 45, because this is a section that I've always wondered, how is this going to happen in our day when we see that the judgments are actually right at the door? And I'm going to read from 45:12, beginning at paragraph C, and then read through 13. And with one heart and with one mind, gather up your riches that ye may purchase an inheritance which shall hereafter be appointed unto you. Well, it is. It's appointed section 57. It's the land of Missouri was consecrated for the gathering of the saints, and Independence was designated as the center place. And it shall be called the New Jerusalem, a land of peace, a city of refuge, a place of safety for the saints of the Most High God. And the glory of the Lord shall be there, and the terror of the Lord shall also be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come up unto it, and it shall be called Zion. Now, if you remember, in Brother White's experience, the Lord actually told him, when he said that his judgments were upon the Gentiles, he says, my Zion waits for a better day, and thou art caught up in the judgment of the Gentiles, yet will I spare thee. Well, that's exactly what happened. The church was rejected. The early saints actually had the opportunity to redeem Zion, and they failed. And it moved out of our hands. Zion will now be redeemed in the Lord's time. And it's not until Zion is redeemed that the celestial law of temporalities will be implemented, section 102. We got that backwards. We say we can't build Zion until we have all things common. That's not going to happen until after Zion is redeemed. Paragraph 13. And it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man that will not take up his sword against his neighbor must needs flee into Zion for safety. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven, and it shall be the only people that shall not be at war one with another. And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up to battle against Zion, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible, wherefore we cannot stand. Now here's the part that's troubled me. We haven't built that city. There is no place of refuge. And yet, the judgments are upon us, and we are too weak. I think this is where the other scriptures come into play, where the Lord says He is going to preserve us. He's going to protect us. But I do believe it's incumbent, and the time has come with urgency, for those that have not gathered to the consecrated land to gather. Because they're going to be subject to what's going on outside of the protection of God. I'm not saying He's not going to protect them, but I mean, this is the place where ultimately He will protect His people, those who demonstrate they're His people, and they need to gather because the judgment is coming. And when the judgment comes, the opportunity to gather will be, it may have passed or it may be so very difficult.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Some of what you just shared is exactly the reason why I shared the two scriptures to begin with out of section 28 and section 32. Because the Lord did call us to gather, and He gave us the reasons why we are to gather. But yet, and maybe I'm making a judgment here, but it seems like we want to find this reason or that reason or whatever reason we may have for not gathering. And a question that I like to ask, every once in a while the Lord gives me a little something, and it's like, that's kind of my theme for a while. What has come to me recently is, how many of us believe in God? How many of us believe God? If we believe what God says, then that means that we're going to do it, right? And so these scriptures, section 32 was given in 1830. We're still, and I know there's people who are probably a lot better qualified to talk on this subject than I am. But when I read something in the scriptures, I shared with you the other day that I'm a literal man. I mean, when I look at something and I read it, I take it literally. He said to gather. There's a reason. And I believe the Lord gathered me in 1973. And I have to admit, I moved away for about 12 years. But my heart was always back here. And my wife has mentioned several times that she really likes her house in Brookfield, Missouri. Now, I like her house in Brookfield, Missouri too. But you know what? This is where I feel that God has brought me to be. Because my testimony is that in 1973, in the early 70s, I really drifted away. And I did some things that I'm not proud of. But God called me into repentance. He called me back. And never before in my life had I read the scriptures. And I grew up in the church. But I began to read the scriptures. And you know the book I chose first? It's the Doctrine and Covenants. You know why? Because it was the thinnest. But you know what? I think God had a purpose in that. He knew me. He knows me. He knows how I think. He knows what I'll do. He knows everything about me. And you know, as I began to read that book, how many times did I read things like what was contained in section 28 and section 32? The Lord said that independence was to be the center place. That it was to be the place for the gathering of His people. It's the place where the building of His temple would be, and on and on and on. And that Zion would not be moved out of her place. And as I read these things over and over and over again as I went through the Doctrine and Covenants, you know what happened to me? There was a burning desire within me that if that's where the Lord was going to be, and if that's where His people were going to be, that's where I wanted to be. And you know, I've often wondered, how did I hear the voice of the Lord? How did I know to recognize Him? Because there were two very specific, distinct experiences that I had in that time in my life where the Lord spoke to my mind, and in one He told me that what I was doing was wrong, and in the other one He told me that what I was doing was dangerous. And I've often wondered, how did I know to listen to that voice? How did I know to respond to that? And I've wondered that for years, and I'm kind of slow, you know. It takes me a while to figure some things out. Just a minute. I want to finish my thought. Okay. I was reading in the book of John just a few years ago. It's a scripture I had read many times before. And I'm sure you've had this same experience. You read something, and you read something, and you read something, and there's nothing. And then there's that one time you read it, and it's like a light bulb goes on. And this is what happened to me. 10th chapter of John. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 27 is what hit me, that I realized that the reason I heard that voice and I responded to it was because I was one of His sheep. Do you know how humbling that is? Each one of us that respond to His voice are one of His sheep. And verse 28 says, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If we continue to respond to the voice of the Spirit and to obey, we will never be plucked out of His hand. But it requires effort. It requires diligence. Jenna?
Well, in the line of believing what Jesus says, He said that all things that we saw Him do, we would do, and greater, because He goes to His Father. And I don't want to be mean to Arthur Owen, but I'm disappointed that it would be in here that the women will be canning and quilting, and the men get to have a relationship with God, because I think women can have that too. We're going to need food. And so Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He multiplied that. In the Book of Mormon, nobody had any food, and he fed the multitudes over there. He fed Elijah and the widow. And in my mind, He should be willing to feed us too, through His power, without canning. Because where are we going to get the mason jar lids anyway? Once they're used once, you're done. And then we're going to need clothes. But the Israelites, they wandered 40 years in the desert, and their clothes, it says in the scripture, they didn't, I forget the exact wording, but they didn't disintegrate. Their clothes were still just fine. They didn't need replacement clothing. We're going to need light. He gave light to the brother Jared with the stones. He asked him to do some stones. We're going to need water. We got water out of the rock with Moses. We're going to need transportation. Philip was carried away by the Spirit as soon as he baptized the eunuch. Jesus got in the boat. They were instantly at the shore. So bodily transportation by the power of the Spirit. I'm much more excited about the idea of really getting a relationship with God so that we can have our needs met by Him, as He promised that He would do and preserve us. He says, I will remove the curse from the ground and the good of my saints. You have an apple tree growing there, You pick an apple, one is right back there instantly. Maybe it's not even an apple tree. Maybe you've got a whatever tree there, and the apples will come there anyway. You want an apple, or you got your taco salad that you love on the counter, and you know it'll just never diminish as long as you need it. Or I would prefer that.
Brother Jim, and then, Jim, and then Kathy. Well,
I'd like to speak a little bit to what Janet said, and because I believe and I don't believe, and this is what I mean by that. I believe Janet's right, and what I said was I think some of the things in what Oakland gave, it's past. The scriptures tell us to be prepared in all things, and I think if the saints had responded and had been wise, they could have made preparations, whether it was food or clothing or whatever, or events in the future. We've chosen not to do that. And one of the things that we have to remember is that, you know, if you have some food stores at your house, let's say, and it doesn't have to be the end of the world, let's just say we have a tornado come through, and there's no, and you can't go to the store. Well, are you going to hoard it for yourself? Are you going to feed your neighbors? So there's a lot of applications here, and I think it's past, and I think we're going to have to rely on what Janet described. I think God is literally going to have to feed us manna or whatever. I hope it's better tasting than what I understand manna was. And you know, if your shoes are going to last for 40 years, you ought to pick a pair you really like because you're stuck with them. There's no seasonal change, you know. So anyway, but I think that's where we're at. I think a lot of these things have passed us. And we're going to have to totally depend on the Lord because we haven't done any kind of preparation. You know, I could have read from a little farther on in the Doctrine and Covenants and could refer you to two powerful experiences of John Bryce and the painting of Jesus Holdsworth had. And when you read it, and they were like 70 years ago, I mean, they'll leave you shaking about how they're talking back then exactly about the banking condition and the lack of gasoline. And one of the things that the Lord told the saints, get out of debt. Latter-day Revelation says it commands us to not be in debt to our enemies. Well, the banks are our enemies. Everybody but the saints are our enemies. Anything that requires usury is an enemy, because the word means to buy or sting. You don't buy or sting your brother. So I'm all for you, sister.
Yeah, let's go to Kathy.
I don't think I can even enumerate the experiences that Dave and I have had, spiritual level experiences. We live 4 hours from here. You don't know how many times we've discussed how soon we need to gather. And over, especially in the last 4 years, the Lord has revealed to us in power that we are where we are spiritually to be there as a way station or a guide, and that our time will come late. Dave's had spiritual dreams, visions, where we have seen, he has seen us coming and the doors open, and people that we know say, where have you been? We've been wondering if you were ever coming. Even to the fact that our house was prepared, our very home was prepared for us by God how many years ago, and we were told by a historian of our branch that there was a prophecy given in the 1800s that in the last days there would be an elder that lived on our property that would be doing this spiritual work. I had an experience about 3.5 years ago. A couple of came for ministry in our branch, and I don't know, it doesn't matter who, but I was alone with the lady, and she shared with me how crucial it was for us to be gathering, that if we didn't get there, the gates designed would be closed and we'd be locked on the outside. I want you to understand how long I wept for her. 45 minutes. I'm not a weeping person, but my soul was so grieved that she actually believed that God would not gather the people that are doing his work. and lending their hearts to his work. So when I hear that, you know, we all have to be here, I look at, when I hear, my heart grieves for what goes on, not just among the saints, but among the priesthood. Not just in the JCRB, but in all the branches. And I think if we can't get beyond our love of what we know, and that's a wonderful thing. We need to be vested in the scriptures. But prayer can be answered if it's 2 minutes long, because we've had a marvelous experiences, Dave and I together, where the most urgent of prayer, where we debase ourselves and say, we are nothing without you, God, show us the way. And I've asked him to give an immediate answer to prayer, and we've received that. So we have to be ever so careful when we talk about the imperative need for us to be here physically, immediately. Some are called to be here physically, immediately, and some of us are going to be dragging in late with hundreds of people. And I implore the saints that live here, don't just prepare food. If you're going to gather food, we're going to be hungry. And yet God has shown me in a dream that there will be food, and it will be supplied every day, Janet. You go. It will be supplied every day, and it will be there. He showed me that in a dream. So I guess I've given up the temple worrying. I worry about our spiritual condition much more.
Well, I agree with that. I think one of the things that I believe is that we do what we can to prepare. That we just don't sit back and do nothing, but that we do what we can to prepare. And this is something I'll tell Rita, because it's like she feels like we need to do this and do this and do this and do this. And I say, you know, we would spend all of our time doing this, and we would do nothing else. I said, we do what we can, and then the Lord's got to pick up the slack. And I do believe also that there are those who are commanded to tarry. But I feel like that there are so many that say, this is a personal feeling, there are so many that say, well, I was commanded to tarry, or I'm supposed to tarry, that I think Steve had his hand up, and I want to be fair.
Well, I just wanted to point out, you know, that women shouldn't worry about what guys do or what servants of the Lord are told to do. But look at the role that women have played in the scriptures. You know, when we talk about Helaman and his 2,000 sons, there wasn't a whole lot of credit that went to Dad. It says, we do not doubt our mothers knew. And that's why nobody died out of those 2,000 young, struggling boys that went off to war. So there's a lot of things that women are called to do. And there's been a number of meetings that I've been in among the priesthood. I would rather been with the women's, because they had their act together, they were focused, they had a lesson, and they were teaching it, and I was in a house divided, you know, and I just, I marvel at the way that the Lord still moves with the women. It's great.
Okay, let's go to Marilyn.
Well, I have several comments. I actually, in my early marriage life of the early 70s, I read this Oakman's testimony, and I got very involved in canning. I taught women how to sew. I taught them how to can. I taught them how to do a garden. Anything that the Lord gave me a talent, I taught them, and I'm still doing it. And so if that's needed, I'm ready. Now, I've been given another idea that just in last January, I live in a house in Blue Springs. I picked this house out. I love this house. I want to die in this house. And there was no ifs, ands, or buts. And yet last January, Roland was looking for houses. You took me through a house in attendance, and all of a sudden the Lord put on me, I need to move. Several reasons I need to move. I need to move to lessen my amount of financial need. And I'm ready to do that. I didn't think I would ever be ready. I'm ready. We spent 6 months getting our house ready, and we'll probably put it on the market in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The Lord has put on me, and this is me. Everybody gets their own. God works with everybody differently. He wants me near the temple lot. And so, I have such a strong feeling for that, but that's where I'm looking. I'm looking for a home that's small near the temple lot. I don't know why, but the Lord has put it on me, and I feel so strongly. I will not detract from that. And that's how God works in my life. And He has always been there, and I can't doubt Him now.
Let's go to Jim.
I really appreciate Kathy's testimony, and for whatever reason, I can't find the revelation, the Latter-day Revelation. And I think the problem has been that the saints have always used it as a weapon to justify where they're at. And basically what it says is, if you have not been commanded to tarry, you are commanded to gather. People have said, well, I haven't received the revelation to gather. Well, you have, because the revelation says, unless you've been commanded to tarry, you are commanded to gather. And the Lord does have people that He keeps out of the center place for His purpose, that the work of the kingdom will continue until such time as He's ready to gather everyone. But the saints in general have made excuse after excuse of gathering. And here's the problem. We all make excuses. It could be in a lot of areas. At some point, the bill comes due on all of us. And if you've made excuses and the bill comes due and you haven't gathered, you're going to be exposed to the judgments that are on the land. You're going to have to take up your sword against your neighbor. That's what the Revelation says, if you don't believe Zion.
Well, I hope that we would all agree on this one thing, that this is a time that we spiritually prepare for that which is before us. And I think if we truly spiritually prepare, if we uphold one another in prayer and in fasting, and we come together and we pray together as much as we possibly can, the Lord will reveal to us that which He wants us to do, whether it's to gather, whether it's to tarry, whether it's to go somewhere to bring ministry, or whatever the case may be. I feel like I kind of stirred the pot a little bit this morning, or opened a can of worms, but you know, what I like to do in a class is I like to make people think. Even if you don't agree with me, I want you to think. Because I want to think about these things too. Because that's how the Lord touches me and works with me, is He gets me to thinking about something. And especially then if I go to the Scriptures and I start a study, then my mind is open to other things. So, let's come together spiritually. Let's pray like we've never prayed before. Last comment.
I better make it.
Pressure's on.
Back on what Jim was just saying. Long story short. When I was just a teenager, saw in a vision, the literal city of Zion. So, and that was my conversion experience. I was estranged from the church at that time. But anyway, so I knew then that was true, and I ended up at 16 in Independence, and the rest of my family still lived in Southern California. So that's a whole other deal. But living in Independence for many years, then I married a farm boy, or a country boy, anyway, and so I didn't know how to can, not at all, and so, but Dan knew how to do all So he was a guy that knew how to do, you know, all of that. But anyway, my point is, so I went with him, and we live 10 minutes from here in Bay City, so we are outside of even Jackson County. And we have this ongoing thing of, we're working on it, and you know, that I know, and he does too, that we need to eventually be there. And I keep saying, but I have a new vision. And anyway, so the Lord, we keep trying to put our house on the market. And for whatever reason, that just is not, that's not happening. And so anyway, and then I hear comments like, well, why do you want to go to Independence now anyway? It's so much worse than what it used to be. And I have to admit, whenever I even go into the city, there is a spirit there now that has changed. And if I'm right, and you all still have to keep straight on this because my brain right now is logistics. But the theme for today is the wheat and the tares. Is it wheat and tares?
Mm-hmm.
And the wheat and the tares grow up together. And the Lord does believe. And so my faith is in that. That he's going to make it right. And he's going to cleanse. And we just have to have that faith. That he's going to do that. And we need to obey.
Okay, we are out of time. We have been out of time, so Jim, this will have to be brief.
Okay, I want to respond because I'm troubled by what I'm hearing. And I've heard in other places. I just read from 45 where the Lord was going to designate a land of Zion. He did that in 57:1. The entire state of Missouri has been consecrated by the Lord God Almighty for the gathering of His saints. Independence is the center place where the city of New Jerusalem. You are not outside of God's laws if you live in Bates City or if you live in St. Louis County. You are within God's law. And I'm disturbed when people project the idea that if you don't gather to Independence, you haven't gathered. That's absolutely not correct. Now, maybe if we're just talking about a few hundred people or a couple thousand people gathered, but the Lord's gathering is millions, millions, and ultimately billions. And that's why He consecrated the whole state of Missouri. And when that's full, He will expand the borders of Zion.
Okay, what I'd like to do is let's gather, let's stand up, and let's gather.